Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. Another nice Saturday of stakes races at the various venues around the country. And one of those we'll concentrate on is Tampa, but also a couple of nice stakes over at Oaklawn today with the Razorback and the Biakoa. But at Tampa, the Sam Davis on the road to their Tampa Bay Derby, and then eventually the Kentucky Derby. So we will talk a little bit about that this morning and more. A little bit later on, taped an interview yesterday with Mark Cassie, who has over a quarter of the field in the Sam Davis. So I thought, hey, I'll get one trainer in and we'll hit on some of the contenders. But also wanted to hit on some thoughts on the Sam Davis and some of the other stakes as well with Marty McGee, who is covering Tampa action today for the Daily Racing Form. Marty, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. It's good to be with you, and it's good to be here in Tampa. I love coming over here. I've been doing it about 10 years now, and it's a pleasure.
Yeah, I was saying just before we went on the air, I used to visit it quite often. Haven't been there in a number of years, and I'm envious. Love to get back because, again, it's a fun little track. It's a nice-sized facility. So on a day like this, there's a nice buzz in the building, and obviously it's Florida, which means short sleeves and shorts most of the time. But speaking of that, what's the weather look like for today?
Perfect. It's going to be mostly sunny, highs in the low to mid-70s. We had some rain and kind of cold weather here earlier in the week, Tuesday and Wednesday, but it's really warmed up, and it's everything's going to be on the turf. None of these four stakes are on the turf, but nonetheless, there are some undercard races of interest that will be run on a terrific grass course here at Tampa Bay Downs.
Yeah, excellent. It's a really nice day, and four stakes races. We'll hit on all those. Just before I get to that, I wanted, did you have any thoughts on Thursday night's Eclipse Awards? I think things played out pretty much as expected. I don't think there were any surprises on Thursday night.
Yeah, I was glad for Brad Cox, with whom I've dealt for many, many years now in my hometown of Louisville. I was glad to see him win right back. Joel Rosario, I've been tight with Ron Anderson for years, too. So it was good to see Joel get a long overdue Eclipse Award. And, Go Dolphin just ran roughshod over everybody to get the owners and breeders. So tip of the hat to them, too.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know whether there are any surprises, but I agree with all the names you pointed out as well. All right, let's jump in and start things off and kind of work our way back from the highlight. The highlight is the Sam Davis, three-year-olds going for $250,000, grade three, a mile, and a 16th. And I pulled up the Kentucky Jockey Club because Classic Causeway is clearly going to attract a lot of attention off the second in that Kentucky Jockey Club. We're going to watch it here. The winner is Smile Happy, who comes into the three-year-old season with Buzz. Classic Smile Happy will be number eight here as we watch the replay. Number one is Classic Causeway. But maybe most notable, number 10 is White Abario, who kind of absolutely hit everybody's radar last week and maybe flatters Classic Causeway a little bit. So Classic Causeway's interesting. I thought Dale Romans with Howling Time, I may go in that direction. But Volcanic from Mark Cassie among his trio attracted my attention as well. And Shipsational for Eddie Barker, coming down from New York as a New York bred. I'm going to be intrigued to see what that one does. But what are your thoughts on the Sam Davis?
Well, first of all, Seth, we do have a scratch in here. Number nine, Howling Time. Joe Talamo, he won't be coming in from Kentucky, nor will Dale Romans be coming over from Gulfstream. He says he just needed to give the horse a little more time. He intends to run him back in the Fountain of Youth, which is March 5th, back at Gulfstream. But in any event, Little Vic, number 13, now draws in, and I'm sure that Paco will send him from the outside post. There's going to be a lot of pace in here because of that, I think. Classic Causeway is 3-1 on the morning line with Ired Ortiz Jr. riding. I don't think you'll see any of that. I think he'll be under 2-1, given how well he ran there for your people there on closing weekend and breaking his maiden at first passing at Saratoga. Then he ran a big race from the 13 hole in the Breeders' Futurity to be third as the favorite. And then as the race you just shown, he was a very creditable second there in the Kentucky Jockey Club, which clearly is coming up a key race with White Abario having won the Holy Bull last weekend at Gulfstream, and Smile Happy just being really impressive. He runs a week from Saturday over in New Orleans in the Risen Star at a mile and an eighth. So I think Classic Causeway, Seth, is definitely the horse to beat in here. I think that Ired's going to sit a trip with all the speed in here, which includes not only Little Vic but Shipsational. maybe Trademark and a couple others. So, yeah, it's a terrific race here. 10 points to the winner in terms of Kentucky Derby qualifying points. And a lot of attention here with not a whole lot else going on this weekend. A lot of the Derby focus is on this race here at Tampa today.
I'm going to be really interested to see how the odds shake out, because I think you're absolutely right. Classic Causeway is going to take a lot of attention, and that 3-1 is far too generous. But then you get beyond that, and I taped with Mark Cassie yesterday, and I thought the morning line odds on his three horses were very generous. I think they all stand a chance. And another horse we haven't mentioned, Make It Big, who won the Springboard Mile middle of December to run the record to 3-for-3 for Safi Joseph, and Jose Ortiz is on board. I think Make It Big is interesting as well.
Yeah, he is. He's undefeated. As you said, he is actually eligible for the $50,000 win-only bonus that goes to the if you're a Florida bred, so he's a Florida bred. Safi didn't really decisively make up his mind to come here with Make It Big until the horse worked on Sunday at Gulfstream, and after that he said, okay, this horse is doing all right, so I'm going to send it over here. He has a running style, Seth, that might suit the race pattern here with, again, all the speed, being forced with Little Vic, et cetera. So I think in terms of the pace scenario, Jose Ortiz ought to be able to work out a mid-pack type of trip and have this horse run his race from there.
And I mentioned before, Ship Sational would be fun to see a New York bred make a little noise.
Yeah, he could, but you know what? He's up against it in terms of making his two-turn debut, his first start against non-New York breds. He's going to incur some pace pressure, I think, from the outside again from Little Vic. Javier, he's really going to need to work on this horse, I think, to get him. Now, in terms of buyer speed figures, he does match up with the top horses in here, including Classic Causeway. But, again, he's coming off a layoff. And he's tried a few new things here today. So I would be inclined to maybe fade him.
I at least tip my cap to them for taking the shot. They have a live New York bred. Try some open company, maybe a three-year-old that would make a little noise on the trail if they do something today. So I kind of, as I say, appreciate that they're taking the shot. Anyway, fun field, fun race this afternoon that, again, highlights the stakes action, but there are other stakes on the card as well. Let's go back and look at the Suncoast. This is for the three-year-old fillies going a mile. And clearly in here, there is going to be a horse that the betting public will tilt towards. That's Nest. We're going to look at the Demoiselle, the stretch run back on December 4th. Nest is the number 5 horse, lightly raced, a couple of wins in 3 career starts, including this Demoiselle for Todd Pletcher. So Nest is going to take clearly a lot of action. A little Love and Luck, I thought, from Mike Deeney was interesting, coming off the turf. Stake win over at Gulfstream, but has dirt races. Peaceful Surprise, A Penny, also horses that I could make maybe a little bit of a case for, but seems like it's going to go through Nest. What are your thoughts on the Suncoast?
Yeah, I mean, Nest was so impressive, Seth, in winning her debut in late September at Belmont that her connections actually seriously considered running her in the November 5th Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, but they relented. They ran her instead at Belmont back in the Tempted. It ended up being a very useful race toward her next start, which, as you've shown, was a victory in the Demoiselle. So they've got her 3-5 on the line. There is one scratch in here, number 5, a long shot. Mirth and Merriman is out, leaving a field of 7 3-year-old fillies. I think she ticks down to about 2-5, but I do give number 3, A Little Love and Luck, a shot in here. Mike Deeney, who I hang with quite a bit here at Tampa, is really bullish on her, thinks that she's going to handle the dirt just fine the way she's handled both the synthetic and the turf. He thinks he can upset Pletcher. And, in terms of the buyer speed figures, they're pretty comparable. So you're going to be getting 2-5 on Ness, and I think about 3-1 on A Little Love and Luck, and I think I'm going to lean on the higher odds there.
Yeah, I'm a Mike Deeney fan myself down there at Tampa. I always look at his horses because I met him a couple of years ago for one of his main owners, Ballybrit. They had a horse called Marrow, so I had to walk up to him and find out what the what the genesis of the name was, and he said, yeah, watch that one. And so I'm betting it every time it runs, and of course, it eventually wins at about 3-5 down at Monmouth. So I didn't make my money back there, but I got the story. And then we were down, we were in Vegas a couple of years ago. We were covering the NHC, and Mike Dini was one of the contestants in the NHC a couple of years ago. So yeah, fun guy.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. I really like him.
All right, let's go a little earlier on the card, the Pelican. And I'm interested to hear your take because I put Baby Yoda on top, but clearly, and we're going to show here, just a freakish performance up at Saratoga with the crazy 114 buyer figure. Baby Yoda is going to be the number 8 horse here. Olympiad, who came out of this race, also with a nice buyer and has kind of been similar to Baby Yoda in that has a lot of talent, doesn't necessarily show it every time. And as I say, the Saratoga race with the buyer was just freakish. That said, and after this, I don't think they were thinking, hey, we'll wind up in the Pelican in February. But after the big race, just didn't quite live up to that. But that said, I thought the second last time was a well-beaten second, but it was a second to the also freakish Flight Line in the Malibu last time. I thought that's boded well for Baby Yoda, so I went in that direction. But Pudding, Bank on Shea, Cajun Casanova, interesting horses in the Pelican this afternoon. What are your thoughts and your take on Baby Yoda?
Well, I think he's going to be less than the 6-5 morning line odds. I think he's not going to be much value at 4-5 or so. And the reason he is going to be that low is, A, the 114 buyer that he got on closing weekend at Saratoga, and B, Flight Line showing up in his past performance lines. So that's just enough for people to say, well, you know, this is a great horse, blah, blah, blah. But I really think, Seth, there's going to be a lot of pace pressure in here. Look at number 7, Boca Boy. He will be setting sail from his outside post. Also, Bank on Shea is fast with Irad. He's not going to let Baby Yoda get away from him. I think King Guillermo, they're going to send him. Tons of pace in here. I think it sets up for Pudding, the horse who's really come along nicely, climbing the class ladder, always gives a good effort, likes his track. He's 4-9 at Tampa. I'm going to go for a mild upset here with number 5, Pudding in the Pelican, and fade Baby Yoda.
I like that. Elizabeth Doble's in with the 5 horse in there. All right, finally, the Minaret. 6 furlongs for the fillies and mares, purse of $50,000, but kicks off the stakes action. And I'm going to play around with, hopefully the morning line holds up. My Destiny, I'm going to pull up the allowance optional claimer from January 8th. My Destiny is going to be the number 1 horse, so clearly comes in off a nice effort cross state over at Gulfstream. Tap Dance Fever goes out for Gerald Bennett, who I have to pay attention to everything he has down there. Drop a Hint is interesting. Poseidon's Passion coming off some turf races, but with some positional early speed. Again, I'm going to take a pop with My Destiny. What are your thoughts on the Minaret?
Well, there is one scratch in here. Number 5, Poseidon's Passion is out, so that leaves a field of 7 filly mare sprinters. I like the open-air outside box where the air is fresh and clear for Irad Ortiz with number 8, Quinoa Tifa. Kind of a clever name.
Love
there.
Love the name, yeah.
I really think turning back, she's going to be able to get a good position, a good stalking spot. I fear the 4, Feeling Mischief, who finally came back to some of her earlier races and winning an allowance here last month. So I've got it a cold 8-4 in here, Seth.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Marty, appreciate the conversation. And again, I'm envious. Love to be down there. So have a great afternoon today down at Tampa. And again, folks can find your work, the hard copy of the Daily Racing Form or DRF.com. Marty, again, appreciate the time, and we'll talk again.
Beautiful. Thanks a lot, Seth.
Marty McGee from the Daily Racing Form. Again, he'll be covering the Tampa action today for the Daily Racing Form. And it's a nice card, really nice card down at Tampa today, highlighted by that Sam Davis. Speaking of the Sam Davis, again, yesterday we caught up with Mark Cassie. He's got 3 in there. So we talked about those horses. Papa Cap, his other good 3-year-old, is on the Derby Future Pool this weekend. So we hit on that horse and more with Mark Cassie. All of that right after this. Stay tuned. You can just go right into that, too.
the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region? Tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Happy to be joined now by trainer Mark Cassie, and I wanted to take a look today at the CMF Davis, and I thought, let's reach out to Mark. We can cover a quarter of the field. It's a salty group in the Sam Davis. Mark, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, it's a, it's maybe, I've ran in the Sam Davis many, many times. This may be as tough a group as I've seen.
Yeah, your three on the morning line, they're all prices, and I think they're all live. They're all coming off of good races. We'll kind of go one by one through your three runners and get your thoughts, but I'm intrigued by all of them. I'm curious, how far is your place in Ocala from Tampa?
A little less than 2 hours.
Okay, so you're right in the vicinity, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, to bounce down. All right, let's do it. Let's take a look, and we'll go through your three runners one by one here. We'll start, we'll just kind of go chronologically by post position order. Golden Glider, couple of starts so far, couple of nice wins, the debut victory up at Woodbine on the synthetic, and then you came down to Tampa early in January. We're going to take a look at that race. January 7th at Tampa, Golden Glider is going to be the number four horse. Breaks through the first level condition. So now 2 for 2 with a win over the Tampa track. Talk a little bit about this victory down at Tampa early in January, and how is Golden Glider coming into Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, you know, I thought his first race was remarkable. We ran him at Woodbine. We were kind of rushed. It was towards the end of the meet. The only thing they had was a route race, so I ran him a route of ground. He got left and still was able to win. I was extremely impressed with his performance. So then I wanted, you know, I had the Sam Davis in mind, and I said, well, let me get him over and get him a race over the track and over the dirt, because he had won on synthetic. Broke a little slow again, made a big move, and then Antonio said he pulled himself up when he made the lead, which if you know him very well, you would know that he would do something like that, because he only kind of does what he has to do. So I think it's an advantage to have a race over the track. He's run, you know, he's got two turn races in him. I'd be surprised if he's not right there at the when we come to the wire.
Yeah, it certainly. You know, you mentioned the race up at Woodbine, where the running line in the daily racing form is last to first. So came from the clouds there, and obviously he was in the hunt a little bit more down at Tampa. What do you expect pace-wise for him on Saturday?
Well, there's a ton of pace in this race. Bunch of horses running two turns for the first time. Not only that, but then there you have some horses that have went like a mile, but so they won turn miles. So I think he'll probably sit back a little bit. I think he should, and hopefully come, you know, with a really good run. We know he can do it. He's done it twice now.
And he's been training at your training facility. Is that dirt?
It is.
Okay.
It is. Uh-huh.
And that's some nice workouts there as well.
We just took him. We do it a lot of times, Seth. We have a big training center in Ocala. It's where I spend majority of my time, and we get everybody kind of ready. I think right now we're maybe somewhere third in the standings at Gulfstream, and I would say half of those winners ship right from Ocala, the training center, right to Gulfstream and run.
Interesting.
And have been successful.
Let's move on to God of Love, and I'll just start out asking, because looking down at his training line, he was training over at Palmetto's. The last workout was at your training facility. Why the switch from the West Coast to the East Coast, to the East Coast to the West Coast of the state for the training purposes?
Well, it's about a five-hour trip from Palmetto's, 4.5, 5 hours. I just brought him up one so I could see him, and you know, all three horses will go down together. You'll see where Volcanic did the same. He won at Gulfstream, but has trained at the training center too.
Well, let's talk about God of Love, because I pulled up the gray up at Woodbine, Grade 3 event back on November 28th. Nice win for God of Love. I love the name, By Cupid, God of Love. He'll be the number 10 horse here on the replay we're looking at. Second win in four career starts. They've all been on the Woodbine Synthetic, however, so talk a little bit about how he's coming up to the race and what you expect on the Tampa Dirt.
Well, he's a horse that trained extremely well at our training center, but before we went to run him, but obviously he's a Canadian bred, that's why he was in Canada, not so much because we thought he would enjoy Tapita. Probably should be 3 for 4. The start before this, that he just, I would give him the award for the worst trip of the year for one of my horses. Got stopped 4 or 5 times, but his last race was very good. If you're a thoroughgraph guy, he ran a 4.25, which is pretty damn good. That's what Papa Cap ran in the Breeders' Cup when he was second. And then as far as dirt goes, we breezed him with Sir Winston on a couple occasions at Palmetto's over the dirt, and he had no problem with that. He worked head and head with Sir Winston on a couple occasions. So I'd be surprised if he doesn't handle the dirt. And I think he has a good chance. As you said at the beginning of the show, we have three horses in, and somebody said the same thing to me this morning. How could they, their odds, does that seem a little high to you? And I think it's an extremely tough race. I think it's tough to diagnose. I mean, there's horses coming from everywhere, different kinds of things. But all three of my horses I expect to run very well, and I couldn't pick. I wouldn't if I could, and I wouldn't if you asked, but I think all three are, have equally as good a chances.
I agree. I find all three of them interesting. I also find it interesting that you reached out to one of Woodbine's top jockeys to come down and ride at Tampa in the Sam Davis. What was the thought process there? He was on board for the 4 starts up at Woodbine, too.
Right. He loves that horse, and, Rafi's been – he's won a couple races for us. He's been riding at Gulfstream and doing well. And I think that was kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, and again, we are talking about Rafael Hernandez, yeah. One of the riders, top guys up at Woodbine. So God of Love, again, interesting to me. And Volcanic, this is probably the one I'm tilting towards the most. And I'm going to be curious what your take is on the post position down there at 1/16. You're in the 10. But we're going to take a look here at the Maiden Breaker from January 8th. He'll be the number 10 horse here down at Gulfstream. Nice win. We saw Volcanic early in the career up at Saratoga in our neighborhood. As a maiden, you thought enough to try the Hopeful. Then off since from the Hopeful to this race we're looking at here. Nice gutsy neck win. You always have like this when they show that kind of oomph to get up in a battle like this down the stretch. I will also alert people that about 45 minutes before, there'll be a race at Gulfstream with Charge It, and that's the horse that was beaten there, so maybe we can get a little barometer from Charge It over at Gulfstream leading into the Sam Davis. But talk a little bit about the 2-year-old season, the layoff, and if you think Volcanic has now come back maybe as an improved 3-year-old, and your thoughts on Saturday for Volcanic.
You know, I've always put Volcanic right up there with my top young horses. If you ever get a chance, watch his when he gets beat at Saratoga in a maiden race. Kind of broke okay, got hit with a bunch of dirt, dropped back, looked like he was going to be last, and Tyler got him out in the middle of the track, and he came running and just missed. You know, I thought enough of him to run him in the hopeful, but of course he drew the one hole, which is disastrous. Yeah. And then not only to add insult to injury, he ran into the side of the gate at the break. So it was just a mess. And he actually came out of that race, and he got sick after that, and that's why you didn't see him run for a while. I've always thought he would enjoy a little more ground. He wants to be up close to the lead, but he's not as fast as some of those sprinters. So the mile was perfect for him. I like the post at Tampa because he's not a horse that cares much to be pressured with a lot of dirt and everything. And I would be, if he had an inside post, I think there, you know, there's a ton of speed in the race that he would have been hard pressed from the inside, where this now, Edwin's going to be able to use his speed, but hopefully, you know, be able to tuck in right behind some of the faster horses going into the first turn.
Added the blinkers last time. Do you think that made a difference?
It didn't hurt. It didn't hurt.
And, again, it was a nice performance at the one-turn mile. This will be his first time around two turns. Any concerns there?
I think he'll like it. Yeah, I think this is what he's been wanting to do. He's all three of these horses are exceptional to look at. If you you scale them 1 to 10, 10 being, you know, the ultimate, all three of these horses are like nines.
I like that.
They're three horses that are just beautiful horses, and Volcanics is pretty as any horse you'll see.
Yeah, like I say, I find all three of them interesting. I think I'll tilt a little towards Volcanic, but wish you a lot of luck in the Sam Davis, because I think you do have some live runners in there. Also, I wanted to get some thoughts a little earlier on the card. The third race on Saturday is going to be a maiden special, and you have a horse that's new to your barn, comes in from Southern California, Moment of Peace. Just give folks an idea if they're playing a little bit earlier. What do you think of Moment of Peace on the card?
Yeah, he's kind of a mystery horse. You know, ran well his first start,
yeah,
and then just ran terrible in his next start. I guess we got him about a month ago. We got all Mickey Gonzalez's horses, and he came with a beautiful horse. I worked really, you know, I worked him. First time I worked him at the training center, I thought he worked okay. I was very happy with his last work. And I don't know. I don't know what we're going to get. He's a happy horse, trained great this morning. I don't know. I think if he gives us his first race back, I don't know that they'll beat him. If he gives us his second race, he'll be coming to Gilding tomorrow. Or, yeah, on Sunday.
I think you have the same opinion that most handicappers have. That first race stands out. The second race just leaves you kind of scratching your chin. I'll be interested to see what happens with Moment of Peace, but that, again, that's the third race. Also wanted to get some thoughts on Papa Cap, your nice three-year-old that is coming out of the LeCompte. And Papa Cap is on the future pool that is running this weekend, the Kentucky Derby future pool. So wanted to get some thoughts there. And I wanted to do it by going back to the last two races and getting your take on both of those last two races. And first up, wanted to go back and watch the nice second to end his two-year-old season in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last November at Del Mar. Corniche, the number 12, wins, but number 4 will be Papa Cap. Giant Game runs third in here. At 15-1, Papa Cap, pretty good second to, again, wind up the two-year-old season. What was your takeaway from the Breeders' Cup Juvenile?
I was very pleased with his race. You know, he kind of got bothered going into the first turn. Again, I think Thoroughgraph numbers, I think he had a better number than the winner, than Corniche, who's just became champion. I thought he ran on a little bit once he got outside. He's pinned down on the rail. And then we went and we ran in the, what was it, the LeCompte.
LeCompte, yeah, we have and that again, stretch run too. He'll be third in here.
Yeah, again, you know, he just was down inside, no real excuse. I would like to for him one time to get a trip where maybe, you know, he could get outside. I think his last three trips he's been kind of pinned down on the rail. You know, I'm not blaming Joe at all. It is what it is. So it'll be interesting what kind of post position we get for the Risen Star next week. And we are, Tyler Gaffleone's going to come in and ride him for us.
Interesting.
What's that?
Interesting that Tyler's coming in. And he is still working at Fairgrounds, and that's the game plan to go to the Risen Star next week.
Oh, yeah. He's training tremendous. He had a really good work the other day. Going to have another work and this weekend. And then, he's all good.
Very good. And wanted to touch on one more thing before we let you go. And I pulled up a replay, not so much for the horse, but he's one of yours. And it was over at Gulfstream. You won a maiden special event back on February 5th. The horse is Sir For Sure. And I pull this up because it's on the synthetic. And as a handicapper, a lot of the handicappers now are kind of struggling with some of the synthetic races over at Gulfstream. So I wanted your take as a horseman. And again, we're watching Sir For Sure just a little over a week ago, a little less than a week ago, get it done, the number 9 horse here on the synthetic at Gulfstream. Your thoughts on the synthetic so far at Gulfstream and how it's been playing, but I'd also like your take as a handicapper. I kind of concentrated early up as they put the synthetic down there, and when Woodbine closed, I was looking at the Woodbine shippers coming down as synthetic to synthetic and kind of giving them an extra star on my handicapping. It has been a mixed bag down there, but this is one of those horses who came down from Woodbine. So again, your thoughts on the synthetic at Gulfstream and then the transition for horses from Woodbine synthetic to Gulfstream synthetic.
Well, I think at first, Sir For Sure, that was quite a race.
Yeah.
And I think if he stays healthy, he's a legitimate Queen's Plate horse. I thought his race was great. In all honesty, I mean, we brought a lot of horses down and ran them at Gulfstream because of the Tapeta. It definitely has us running there more. You take a horse like Sir For Sure, if I ran that horse on the dirt and he got away slow, he'd have zero chance on the dirt, which is extremely frustrating to me. I think the Tapeta is playing fair. You know, you win on the lead, you win from the middle of the pack, or as Sir For Sure did, come from last. So I think it's fair. I'm sure it's frustrating for some handicappers because, you know, there is no, you know, they're still finding their form. Once their form, you know, after they have a few races, I think it'll be easier. I mean, Woodbine, who, as we know, you know, they do run on the turf, but anything on the main track is Tapeta. It is, over the last 4 or 5 years, just continue to get bigger and stronger with their handle. And it's like anything. There's always some pain, but in the end, it's just a good thing. You know, I sit there and read where a lot of handicappers, I want them to run more turf races, and I don't like betting on the Tapeta, and I don't like this. There's a reason why they're not running more turf races. Turf can only take so much.
Yeah.
And that turf course has been, you know, ridden hard, and it's taken its toll. And it's just something, you know, they don't have the luxury of a Belmont where you run for, you know, 60 days, and then you go to Saratoga and you run for 60 days, then you go back to Belmont. You know, turf cannot take it. So that's why you're seeing it. And I think the more form, I'm not a big bettor, so I'm not a gambler. I gamble. When I gamble, I gamble when I buy horses. That's my gamble. But, I mean, it looks like to me that form's held up fairly well. You know, I mean, I haven't looked at the winner, you know, the, I don't know the exact numbers. I guess maybe there's some frustration in some handicappers because they like to figure out who's going to make the lead and figure out speed, because that doesn't work on synthetic. I think the best horse wins a lot of times. A lot of times you'll watch Gulfstream, and you know speed is so dominant there, and it's dominant because the kickback actually is, you know, it hurts the horses. A lot of horses won't run into it, so maybe that's part of the frustration or you know, so I don't know.
I think you kind of nailed it though on the fact that just once there is a little more history to look at for folks. I remember when turf sprints started to become big, I just had no feel for it whatsoever, and I know I wasn't alone. But once the you know, you got out there and you had more of a database to look at, so to speak, it became much easier to do. And now I don't really have any problem with that. And I think the synthetic down at Gulfstream will work out the same. The one thing I do like, and I'll get your opinion as a horseman, I love the fact that when we now get weather down at Gulfstream that will knock races off the turf, things hold together if it moves to the synthetic as opposed to a main track situation. As a trainer, do you appreciate when a turf race moves from turf to synthetic?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, look, you know, we race in New Orleans and they've had a lot of rain, and I've had three or four horses that are favorites on the grass. They come off and you're like, oh, you know, we'll give them a shot, and then they run last. It's, you know, it's terrible. And at least with the synthetic, I think you got a fair shot. You know, it's no different. There really are. And I think, you know, I've probably run, well, I don't know if there's anybody in the world that has run more horses on dirt and tapeta or synthetic than me. Because I run in a lot of different places. And it's just there's horses that like turf, there's horses that like dirt, and there's horses that like tapeta. Then you do have a few that, you know, you do have some that will go turf and tapeta. But very seldom do. There are not very many turf horses that can run on the dirt. Yeah. And you know what? That's when horses get hurt too. When you do try to run them, and look, I know you sit there, and I think the other day I watched some races. You guys got a lot of rain in New York, and they were running three horse fields.
Yeah,
you know, that's not good.
Yeah, no, that as I say, that is clearly one of the benefits down there. When the weather comes and they move from turf to synthetic, now the fields kind of hold together, so that's certainly
well, and you know what, Seth, look, if dirt and synthetic are equal on a great, on a good day, synthetic is superior.
Yeah,
when on a bad day.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and we have to, you know, obviously we need the bettors, we need the owners, but we have to take care of our horses, and that's the most important part. And I will debate with anybody that wants to debate on what's safer, because I tell everybody I've been doing this a study for the last 15-20 years on it every day.
Yeah, well, as you said, and I have to agree, running up at Woodbine, as many horses as you do, nobody has more experience on the synthetic than you do. So certainly appreciate the conversation, the thoughts. And, Mark, always appreciate the conversation. And more importantly, wish you a lot of good luck Saturday afternoon with the Sam Davis and your runners there. Again, appreciate your taking the time, and we will talk again in the future.
Thanks for having me, Seth.
Appreciate it. Mark Cassie with three live runners in Saturday, Sam Davis.
I'm Seth Merrill, and at Serious Horse Players, we know that information is critical when placing a bet. With live streaming of more than 30 tracks, race replays, free past performances, and daily picks from professional handicappers, no one gives you more up-to-the-minute information than Capital OTB. Combine that with the best player awards in New York State, and you have everything a Serious Horse Player needs to be successful.
Win more with Capital OTB.
Winning starts here.
The Clubhouse Racebook is the Capital Region's new home for racing and sports. 25,000 square feet of Vegas-style action with live wagering on the best horse racing from around the world. 260 flat-screen televisions and state-of-the-art wagering terminals. So don't miss out. The fun is only minutes away at 711 Central Avenue, Albany, just off exit 5 of I-90. And don't forget, if you can't make it to the clubhouse, you can always wager online 24/7 at CapitalOTB.com.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Thanks again to Mark Cassie for taking the time. I think all three of his are live at decent prices, but it's a tough race. It's a fun race. Sam Davis this afternoon at Tampa Bay Downs. End of the show. We have a few minutes, and the press release came out from one of our favorite horse-relating organizations, Charities, the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. We, of course, they're part of the charity bet promotion we do during the summer up at Saratoga, and they're locally based, but they do great work taking care of retired thoroughbreds. And as I say, a press release came out this week talking about a new or expanded program, and I thought we would reach out to our friend Kim Weir from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation to give us a little update on it. Kim, good morning.
Well, good morning, Seth. It is such a pleasure to be with you. Our first conversation of 2022 with incredibly exciting news to share with you and all of the Capital OTB audience about our horses. Always my pleasure to speak for them. So one thing they can't do for themselves is to tell their own stories.
Yeah, and let's set it up again. The press release came out earlier this week. And while you're talking, I also asked the guys to pull up some video that we have from the Wallkill facility, and it's the Second Chances program that we've talked about before that helps the horses, gives some of these retired thoroughbreds a home. They're well taken care of by some of the incarcerated individuals who learn some skills as well. And as I say, while you're talking, we'll show some of the footage from the Wallkill facility to give people the idea, and there's some of that. But it came out this week that you're going to expand the Second Chances program, and from what I read on the press release, the potential to give another 25 retired thoroughbreds a home, but also to help some more people learn some skills and talk about the expansion of the Second Chances program.
Well, I'm so glad to share that this program has been saving horses and changing lives for nearly 40 years. And it started here in New York, as we so often talk about when we're together, Seth, that it was at the Wallkill Correctional Facility that our first horse arrived in 1984. And ever since then, horses have been living out their days happily, healthily, while teaching skills to these inmates and giving them opportunities when they go back into society. So this program has been going strong for 40 years, and it's been growing across the nation. We actually, as of last Friday, had 8 of these individual programs in partnership with correctional facilities across the country. But Monday was just one of those very special days that kicks off a whole new conversation. It's the first time we've ever had 2 programs in one state, and no better state to do that than our home state of New York. So we, in fact, have been working on this for years, and it is not me that has been doing this work. Our team and my colleague, Chelsea O'Reilly, has been working tirelessly with the New York Department of Corrections and Community Supervision to get this in place so that by this summer, by the time you and I are on set sometime this summer, Seth, horses will be arriving at the Wyoming County Correctional Facility, which is a state prison. It happens to be right next door to a rather infamous maximum security prison. Those who recognize the name Attica will know that's where our horses will be living, not at Attica, but at the Wyoming Correctional Facility. And the barn is already there. It's actually a working farm already, so it's in great shape. The infrastructure is really good already, and we are doing things like putting in run-in sheds and waterers, seeding the grass, and things that we need to do. But it is going to happen. We are going to have our second Chances program in New York in 2022. And this is the kind of thing we cannot celebrate enough, because it's good in so many ways.
Yeah. And as I said before, it's helping the horses and it's helping the people as well. And we've talked about it as we've had you on over the past few years. And it's a great program because, again, up to 25 retired thoroughbreds get a great home where they will be well taken care of. But the people, the inmates, also get to learn skills. And, you know, the press release listed things like grooms, farriers, vet assistants, caretakers. And over the years, there was the event early right at the beginning of last year where we taped a couple of the graduates who had gone on to, you know, to leave the facility and go out and take advantage of the skills they learned here in the quote-unquote outside world and, you know, had a skill to take there. And that's a bonus as well. So it's a program that really deserves applause because, as I say, helps the horses but helps the people as well.
Yeah, William Douglas is that great graduate that you met this summer, Seth, when he came down for the quick call ceremony. And I've been in touch with William quite a bit this year. And he was recently asked, he said, so did the program work? And his answer, he's not a man of many words, he said, well, I'm still out. Pretty powerful. And he does credit the horses with having changed the course of his life. So we know, as a crazy horse girl, unabashedly so, horses have done nothing but make my life better. But they do that for even those who've had much rougher roads to travel. So celebrating New York, we are kicking it off. It's going to be a theme all year of talking about the TRF in New York and growing in New York. And I'm just so grateful to be able to celebrate my colleagues and the many, many individuals who've made this program happen to get us to the starting gate, if we want to use that very familiar analogy. We are in the starting gate now, and that takes a long time, a lot of preparation. And now we're ready this year to grow and show what we can do in Western New York.
Yeah, well, great. I wanted to touch on that and alert people that the new facility and the expansion of the program was coming. And applause to you and everybody at the TRF for the great work there. And looking forward to talking this summer up at Saratoga, maybe about how we've progressed now and the facility really getting up and running. So, again, applause to everybody at the TRF on the initiative there to get that up and running. But for folks out there who are maybe thinking, TRF, maybe they don't know, or maybe they do know and wonder how to donate. There is a website, trfinc.org. Folks can visit, learn more about the organization, also donate. But if folks want to have a little fun, and you can see down in the right-hand side of the screen there the web address, so check out the website. And you can go to the website and learn more about this as well. But coming up just about a month from now, towards the end of March, March 26th, it's a Saturday, at the Principessa Elena Society Club up in Saratoga on Oak Street. You have an event coming up. Sounds like fun. People will be able to go and have a little fun on a Saturday night and donate to TRF as well. Tell us about the event. Lose the Winter Blues.
Exactly. Well, that is exactly what we're doing. On March 26th, we'll have our first fun gathering of the herd. It is something that we like to do. We say the horses are herd animals, and so are we. So we do like to gather and have fun and meet our friends. And we're doing that on the 26th of March, and it's actually a benefit concert. It's a blues benefit. So we're chasing away the winter blues with some fabulous blues music by Mark and Jill Sing the Blues, are a wonderful duo. They're based here in Saratoga, and they're great folks. The connection is that Mark Tolstrup, the songwriter and guitar lead for the duo, actually met William Douglas, the same individual we were talking about, Seth. He met him this fall, and he wrote a song to tell William's story of Wallkill and the horses, and even specifically Quick Call is part of this song. He performed it for the first time in November at Cafe Lena, Mark did, and so he's coming back for this event on the 26th. They're going to do a whole concert, a whole set, two sets actually, and this will feature the second ever live performance of the song called Horses and Men, which is actually written about the TRF Second Chances program. So it's really, really cool. Mark is a great guy, and we're so grateful to him. And we have some great sponsors who are enabling us to engage Mark and Jill, and there'll be all the proceeds to the TRF. And mostly it's just about having fun and getting together. I do have to say that I have just confirmed my celebrity guest will be attending on the 26th, none other than Seth Marrow of Capital OTB. So Seth, you're on the hook now. You're my special guest. And I also just secured a very fun raffle item. So folks who join us can, we'll do this by raffle. We won't do silent auction. And it is our dear friend, Richie Migliori, who gives the very best backstretch tour. It's amazing. His stories are incredible. And he's offered us a private tour, backstretch tour with Richie that we'll auction or raffle off on the 26th. So you're definitely, if nothing else, come to get a chance to do that, because it'll be a life changer, I promise.
And I will verify that folks will have a good time, because at the same facility, about a month and a half, a couple of months ago, you guys had a little holiday affair over there for the TRF as well. And that was a lot of fun. And I will certainly enjoy the Lose the Winter Blues, because I'm all about that sentiment. I am all about, you get to the end of March, hey, let's put winter in the back seat and move on to spring. So I love the theme as well. And again, folks can check out the website for more information on tickets and whatnot for that upcoming event. It's March 26th, and we'd love to see as many people there as possible. It should be a lot of fun. And I will highly recommend people make a bid on the Migliori Backstretch Tour, because I ran into you a couple of times, it seems like, over the past couple of years. You in the golf cart with Mig and the winner of that in previous years, and I can clearly vouch for talking to Migliori at the racetrack over the years and hearing numerous great stories. He is clearly a racetrack storyteller, and so I guarantee the winner of that auction item will have a great day at the racetrack. So highly recommend it. Kim, appreciate the visit as always, the update, and as always, we will talk again in the future.
Can't wait. Thank you, Seth. Have a great day.
Appreciate it. Kim Weir from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. Again, one of our favorite racing-related organizations, charities, taking care of retired racehorses and locally based as well. And again, they had the news come out about expansion of the Second Chances program. Wanted to touch on that and also to alert you to maybe mark March 26th on your calendar to come up to Saratoga and have a fun night out. All right. Thanks to Kim. Thanks to Mark Cassie a little bit earlier, and of course, thanks to Marty McGee as well for coming on this morning, taking the time. Tampa, great day of stakes races down to Tampa. A couple of nice stakes at Oaklawn, the Biacoa, and the Razorback. Don't forget, Kentucky Derby Future Pool weekend. That will wrap up tomorrow, I think, about 6 o'clock. And this is the pool that starts to attract my attention. So I'm going to take a look at some of the odds and probably jump in and take a couple of pops this week on the future pool. But keep that in mind. There's a cross-country wager today. Keep that in mind as well. I think it includes Aqueduct, Tampa, and Oaklawn this week, I think. So that might be some fun for folks. We will touch on much of that this afternoon on OTB Live, where we'll take a look at some of those tracks I've mentioned and much, much more. Always want to thank our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship of this program, some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB during their championship meet. Appreciate the support of Gulfstream Park. And I'm just reaching for my promo, and here we go. Because there is an interesting promo that you will want to know about today. Our friends at Tobacco Island. It's a fairly new easy bet in Cohoes, Remsen Street in Cohoes. And they're doing a little promotion every Saturday during February. The first 15 folks through the door get a $10 bet voucher. So if you're over in that vicinity, see if you can swing by and be one of the first 15 folks. You get a free $10 bet voucher. They're on Remsen Street in Cohoes, right off 787. Plenty of parking on the street. There's a little lot a couple of doors away. Nice spot. Nice easy bet location for us. And again, every Saturday in February, first 15 folks to Tobacco Island will receive a free $10 bet voucher. All right, I'm going to wrap up Racing Across America for this Saturday morning. It's been fun. Hopefully we've tossed out some interesting and productive information. With a noon post at Gulfstream, I see Brian and Acacia are kicking off their pregame show, so we'll listen to a little of that before Naira kicks in a little bit later. And I'll be back in about an hour and a half or so with OTB Live for a Saturday afternoon. So we'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.